Do you every morning? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Well, I'm having to start to. I don't have to do that with that other music. It's just lays there. It's fine. And it's very comforting because I don't have to worry about anything. But the opera, I'm having to do da-da-da-da-da because you have to, because the voice is like a sponge. It has to be elasticized, and you can't just get up and sing. You cannot. So it's like a swimmer. You have to get those chords ready, flexible again. So I'm having to da-da-da-da-da. I love, when my son used to look at those cartoons, and I think it was, they had the little singers, not singers, but the little actors, and singing opera. They were taking opera lessons. Which cartoon was that? Cinderella. Anyway, the little sisters were taking voice lessons, and then they go, me, 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 me. That would kill me. I would say, oh, that's a voice lesson. Okay. Right. But they were making fun in Disney. I thought that was so funny. They had no talent. Me, 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 me.
Oh, yes.
Me, me, me.
What did you what did you drink to soothe your throat? And did you have to sing when you had a cold and all that kind of
yes,
thing?
Yes, so but I was known as a singer that was very consistent. There were a lot of opera singers that got sick a lot, had to cancel. I canceled thousands of performances. I canceled 3 times in my life where I got so with laryngitis, I couldn't do it. And it was pitiful. One time I was at the Met out of all of those seasons. They were so furious because I was always so steady. But I went over there. I didn't know. I thought sometime I would get that problem and I could work through it. And so I thought I would be able to work through it. I got over there and I couldn't. And it was at the last minute. And so my understudy, they called her. They couldn't find her. And so they had to hold the curtain. They had never held the curtain but once when somebody died. So they were furious with me because I didn't alert them that I wasn't feeling well. So the great singer now, Deborah Voigt, was filling in for me. She came in and finished the Aida. But that's the only time they had to go out and announce. But other than that, I took care of myself.
What did you drink? Hot water or what?
No, I drank ice water.
Ice water?
I was not finicky like that. They thought that was horrible, those Europeans. They were, you drink ice? Well, I said, I'm from Oklahoma. I like ice everything.
Iced tea.
Iced tea. Ice. Put ice in Coke. I still do that. But that didn't bother me. No, I was not one of those kind of singers. But if I got sick, yeah, I'd take lemon and honey like everybody and try to get rid of whatever. But I was basically a very secure singer, and I my commitments were, well, you know, after a point I realized they were paying me a lot of money, and I took it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So I took care of myself.
You were on many TV shows, Merv Griffin,
yes.
The Cabin, the Jerry Lewis telethon.
Yes, I was telling you I had to do all these things while you're trying to sing. I remember once I was in Central Park, it was a Roberta Flack, she was doing one part of that. It was publicity. And they wanted me to ride around in this horse carriage with my son and just be Leona Mitchell, right? So they were doing some kind of publicity. And it was freezing. I was like freezing to death. And I went, oh, my God. But these were some of the things you had to do with for publicity. You know, this is part of the job. And at that time, it was before, you know, these, what do we have now? All of the things we have, the toys we have now, the cell phones and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so it was important about television and being on TV and newspapers. So I had every country I went to, I had to do an interview. That's just the way. But how wonderful, you know? That was always what I had to, it was part of the job. Mm-hmm.
Well, part of it is promoting opera.
Yeah.
To get people to try it. And
right.
If you try it, you'll like it.
And
maybe.
Then you had to be of some, you know, you had to be up there. They weren't going to do an interview if you weren't the star or something.
Right.
So I was privileged. So, I mean, but it became, it was hard to do, but you had to get up and go do those kind of publicity things.
Maybe you've already said, but what was your most favorite opera house?
Mm-hmm.
You got a bunch of them, I suppose. Mm-hmm.
I told you the Sydney Opera because... Because sitting on in my dressing room, boats were flying by, and
mm-hmm.
It was like being on a boat. And just to physically go there made me happy every day, the way it's built like an airplane. I love that. But to sing in, the Met was lovely to me. I love singing there. And by the way, I went to Buenos Aires for a lot, and it was called Little Italy, their house. All the great opera singers went there to sing, and it was gorgeous, and the sound was phenomenal. I loved, the Paris Opera, the old Paris Opera. They have a new one. oh God, just the, it's so gorgeous, that house. I loved being there. And I remember one, I did operas there, but one recital, when we're talking, I was, they call me the toast of Paris. I was doing opera there, recitals, symphonies. And the whole audience came down again to my feet. It was like a rock concert. That's how much they loved the concert.
Wow.
So that Paris opera, I sang there a lot. And just to walk up to that house, you know, the how it's built is so beautiful. But now they take tours in it now. And all the greats had sung there. So that was a special one for me.
Mm-hmm. I don't think there is a Oklahoman today mm-hmm. who's left this state and gone into many, as many, many countries and stages as you have.
Yeah, we were everywhere.
I bet I could flat say that.
Yeah, it's not any opera singers has done it.
No.
So I know that, but it's just incredible. I really need to just go back to my books and really put all that down, because it was amazing. We were just all over the place for 300 days a year. We were just traversing across continents. Just across continents. Let me tell you one thing Israel did was with the symphony. I was going with the symphony. And Avi was the manager, and it was the first time the Israeli Philharmonic was coming to New York, and they were going to play with the New York Philharmonic. It was going to be the first, and they were doing it in Israel. The New York Philharmonic came to Israel. I was in Australia, and Avi wanted me to be there, and Zuby wanted me to be there. So here we go. We had to take a 27-hour flight from... And I was with a baby that was 9 months old. I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know if that baby would rest. It was a 27-hour nonstop. You know, we had to get off a plane and get on another plane. 13 hours here, 12 hours. Avi, when I got off that plane, I'm going to almost tear up. He had a red carpet. He had a red carpet for me to walk on. He appreciated me doing the manager of the symphony. I never had that done for me.
Coming off a plane?
And flowers all strewn across.
Yeah, and you're tearing up now. That's pretty special.
And man, Elmer and I were trying to stay awake because 24 hours we were all in that other time zone. We could barely stay awake for that. But, oh, wow, what a time. What a time. I had wonderful times in Israel. It was just, Perlman was, you know, we were friends. It was just a wonderful time. Zubin Mehta was one of my favorite conductors. He was absolutely... He could feel your heart. I just did lots of different kinds of things with him. His first time they took opera to the Philharmonic, I did the Butterflies with him there. Oh, my God, those people went crazy. They used to run an ad of me introducing the Philharmonic with something from me doing Butterfly. It was a favorite there.